One of the greatest wide receivers ever played in the CFL, analyst Milt Stegall joins us again. Milt, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
Doing very well. Not good news, man. There's been some just hellacious injuries. John White done for the year. Ricky Ray's on the sixth game. Simeon Rotier's on the sixth game. Bulkley, the D tackle in Hamilton, is done for the year. I know that, you know, football is a physical game, Milt, but and Ricky Ray's injury obviously didn't occur in training camp, but it's kind of the unfortunate part where you see teams losing this many quality guys before they've even played a meaningful game.
Yeah, the team's personnel departments, they will be challenged, and you'll see how smart and how much depth teams have now. I mean, because we're talking about major players on these teams, you know, quarterback, starting running back, starting offensive linemen. Positions aren't easy to replace. So, I mean, unfortunately, it's part of the game. You said it's a physical game. It happens all the time. So the teams that are going to be championship-style teams are the teams who are able to overcome injuries because everybody's going to go through certain types of injuries.
Well, Milt, obviously, you know, there's a lot of attention out here losing John White, a terrific running back, and that's for the season. Not that you can just plug another guy in, but to me, the obvious thing here is Ricky Ray. You're talking a third of the season, premier quarterback in the game. Do the Argos have enough to survive just that opening six-game stretch without Ricky?
I don't think they do. I mean, you're talking about Trevor Harris, a guy I think who started one game, and then you bring in McPherson, who was, you know, he's a backup to Anthony Cavill forever. He would come in on quarterback sneaks. That was pretty much it. So, I mean, they have a couple of running back injuries. I mean, it's going to be tough for them. But the good thing that's going for them is they play in the East. And we've seen what the East have done over the years. Montreal, they don't know their quarterback situation. Hamilton has some injuries. Ottawa, we don't know what they're going to do. So if they could win, you know, two or three of those first six games before Ricky Ray comes back, if he comes back by then, you know, they still have a chance. But that's their one saving grace, is that they are in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, sadly, the West, Milt, Calgary, obviously at the top, and until somebody knocks them down, they're still the favorite. What do you make of Saskatchewan? Because, you know, a lot of people wonder what could they have done last year if Durant hadn't got injured.
Well, I mean, you never know. You just don't know that. But they're covering themselves this year, signing Kevin Glenn. You know, Durant, he's looking to lead his team back to the Grey Cup is going to be a difficult situation. But those Rough Riders, you just never know. You know, they'll go first nine games and they'll be barn busters, and they'll come back the second half and they'll win, you know, two or three of those games out of the last half of the season. So the thing with them is they have to remain consistent. And the one person you just talked about, Durant, you know, he holds all the cards for that team as far as how far they're going to go. As long as he's consistent and he doesn't have to throw a bunch of touchdowns, their defense has been proven to play well enough where as long as he goes out there and manages the game, I mean, he needs to have some games where he needs to outscore some offenses. For the most part, he needs to be a game manager. And when he does that, that team plays well. But he has to be able to stay on the field. You know, they have that insurance with Kevin Glenn, but they're counting on Durant playing all year long and giving them a chance to bring the Grey Cup back to Regina.
Milt, obviously GMs in this league are looking to upgrade everywhere, and one of the big spots is receiver. Ed Hervey's talked about doing that here and has brought a lot of guys in. When you look at a group, I mean, they're not all set. Is in your mind, is there one group of receivers that's head and shoulders above everybody else in the league, regardless of who's at quarterback?
I mean, it definitely helps. Well, you have a good quarterback. I don't care who your receivers are. That makes a difference. I remember when Doug Flutie was playing. I mean, he could have had my wife and her five college friends at quarterback receiving, and, you know, they would have been great. It makes a big difference, you know. But if you want to look at one receiving core, I mean, I would have to go with the Alouettes. And I know they have some older guys, but it's Stamps, and even if Dick Nick is at the top of his game with Jaguar and S.J. Green, if those guys, because they're going to need to come up big because their quarterback situation is not the best. So,
yeah.
I mean, if I had to pick one group right now, I would have to go with the Alouettes because, you know, those older guys, they know what it takes. That this may be the only year those guys are together, but that is the best group of guys right now, in my opinion.
Milt Stegall joins us. Milt, the Eskimos, John White, outstanding running back, maybe even a better blocker. They've got O'Donnell down in Cincinnati, a rotier on the sixth game, so they got some question marks at the guard position. Compile that with John White. How much of a concern do you think that is for the Eskimos and their blocking schemes this year?
Well, it's a concern, but you know how Chris Jones is. He'll always say it isn't. We have everything covered, and I think he believes that also, but I mean, it's going to take more than just believing. You're going to have to fill some spots. I like Lawrence as a changeup. He's not an every down back. They have a veteran in Simpson there, and guys are just going to have to come together and realize this is going to take a group effort. You know, you can't have just one individual who's going to fill the holes that was left behind by injuries and guys jet setting for the NFL. So it's going to take a group effort, because if they can protect their quarterback, which I think is a pretty good one, I mean, they have a chance of winning. You see what happened last year when he got injured, or when he tried to play when he was injured. They're just not the same team. This is a quarterback-driven league. You have to be able to protect your quarterback if you want to win. So they have to go out there and everybody make sure everybody's on the same page with all the different rules and all the different things are going to be thrown at them. And if they can do that, I mean, they have a chance of overtaking Calgary. It's not going to be an easy task, but I think they're right there. They just have to put everything together and make sure everything falls into place.
That's interesting, Milt, that you'd say that. When I look at the Stamps, I think they're the class of the Canadian Football League, and the only question for me is how far back everybody else is and who might be the second best team. Is the gap considerable between Calgary and everybody else in your mind, at least to start the season?
No, I don't think that. I think Calgary is definitely at the top, but Edmonton and Saskatchewan are there. BC and, you know, Winnipeg, they're a little further behind, and everybody in the East, besides Hamilton, I think is somewhat close, not like Saskatchewan and Edmonton. But Edmonton, because of their defense, because of their dominant defense, that will keep them in any and every game. That style of defense that Chris Jones plays, the fact that he's a gambler, he's not afraid to take chances, he's a risk taker. You have an opportunity to win any and every. You also have an opportunity to lose any and every single game. But for the most part, the way that defense plays, they have an opportunity in any single game they play in. Now, I think it's more of it's going to be a mental hurdle when they start playing Calgary this year, because they did lose to them four times last year. But it's going to be a confidence thing that they have to overcome. If they can come out and beat a Calgary team early, they think, well, now we're the best team. So I think they're right there. No one is closer to Calgary than Edmonton. But Saskatchewan is not far off either.
Milt Stegall joins us. Milt, the receiver position, you've seen the rule changes. It's also supposed to impact the receivers as far as them not pushing off. We've seen a few preseason games, and I've actually seen more of an issue with guys leaving early on the punts than we've seen in defensive pass interference. Do you think receivers are going to have to change their style a little bit? Darius Bowman joked that he was the king of the push-off, and you know, by the new rules, that's not supposed to be allowed. Do you think that will be an issue once games get going?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, early on, and I hope the fans understand this, there are going to be a lot of flags. That Edmonton game, there were what, 50-something flags?
Yep.
Fortunately, these officials, they know how to get through everything pretty fast now. But we're going to see some flags. You have guys who their style of play is Bowman, Richardson, the bigger guys, Fantuz, he tends to do this where they like to create that contact with the DB and create separation by pushing off. They have to change that style of play. Just like on the other side, defensive backs, they like to grab and hold, and there's a technique called a catch technique. You have to discontinue with that. And what's going to happen is if these guys can't do that, they have to bring in a different style of player, a guy who hasn't had embedded in that, I have to play like this. Otherwise, there's going to be some problems. But I think early on, you know, the first 3 or 4 weeks, there's going to be some adjusting. Hopefully everybody understands this, because guys have been playing like this for years and years and years. Now they have to change their style of play if they want to have some success.
Milt, further to that, I want to get your take on this. This style where we're not going to have the hand fighting and the pushing off and that, is it going to lend itself to seeing more receivers who can just run by you as opposed to those pattern runners?
Without a doubt. I think teams early on are going to test these defensive backs to see if they can run. And the thing about it, when you have somebody running at you full speed, knowing now that you can't touch me after 5 yards, we'll see a lot of more big plays. You'll see you'll see a smaller, faster, quicker guy who can just get up the field and stretch the field, because the width of this field, a safety can't cover all that ground. So you're going to see a lot of long balls, especially early on, to see if these defensive backs can run with these receivers. It's going to be a difficult task. I mean, I don't care how fast and quick you are. When you're at a standstill and somebody's coming at you full speed and you can't stymie them after 5 yards, it's going to be a very difficult task. So it's going to be exciting for a fan, for a viewer, that these defensive coordinators, I mean, they're going to have to do one or two things. They're going to have to blitz, send three, and bring back nine, or just bring the house and force the quarterback to get the ball out of his hand, because anywhere in between, and these defenses will get scored. So I'm excited to see what happens. You know, we've been having these receivers basically crying the last few years, talking about all the hold and everything's been going on. So their wish has been granted. So let's see what these guys can finally do now, knowing that these defensive backs can't touch them after 5 yards.
Now, Milt, you are a former receiver. I get a sense that maybe you thought they were whining more than just going out and getting open, because you played under the same rules and seemed to have no problem finding some open space.
Well, you're getting more than a sense. They've been crying. I mean, when I first got in the league in 1995, I mean, the physical DBs that played back then, oh, they were mauling guys. But after a while, you got used to it and you adjusted, because if you didn't, they would find somebody else. But these new age receivers, as I call them, they're more than just divas. You know, they're saying that we can't get open. Well, guys have been getting open for years in this league under this same format, but they decided after watching last year that something had to change, because those games last year, I mean, don't get me wrong, I get paid for watching CFL games, but if I wasn't getting paid, it would have been difficult to watch those games. That's how bad they were offensively. So they made the change, so those guys have no excuses now. They need to go out there and get open. And I said this when I first heard the rule, that 1,000 yards shouldn't be the benchmark for a successful season for a receiver. It at least has to be 1,200, 1,300 yards with the new rules in place.
Milt, you know, you talk about the – and trust me, fans agreed with you that the games were painful for the offense. And, you know, some said, well, the coaches are focusing more, and we've got a bunch of defensive-oriented coaches. To me, I felt that, you know, the offense – the take what the defense gives you mantra has become accepted across the league. Was that always there when you played, and do you think that offenses have become too cautious?
Without a doubt, no. We would take what we wanted. That was my motto, and when I became that established veteran, even with the offensive court, whoever it was, I'm like, we're going to take what we want. It's not what they give us. We take what we want. We don't let them dictate what we're going to do. And I think a lot of times you have offensive coordinators, especially when they get a slight lead, they get nervous and they start playing not to lose. You have to realize in the CFL that shouldn't be your format. You have to go out there and try to score a touchdown every single opportunity you get, every single play. Your mindset should be, this is going to be a big play. And I've never been an offense coordinator, never been a coach, never will be a coach. So I don't understand exactly what they're going through. But my motto was, hey, we're going to go out there and take what we want. It's not about what they give us, because our feeling was that we had the best players. We didn't always have the best players, but we thought we had the best players and we could do anything. But I don't know if that's exactly the philosophy that is going on right now in the CFL.
Milt, I'm wondering if we're going to see most of the nylon at the wideout or with the slots where the traffic is. What's your read on that?
I think it'll be more with the slots. I think it'll be more with the guys who actually have that running start. More so with the outside guys, it's really not too much of that going on unless they're really just going deep. But with the slots, when you have somebody running at you full speed and you're thinking, I don't want to be on the highlight reel, I don't want to be on Sports Center Top 10, you're thinking you're going to grab. And sometimes I'm sure defensive coordinator, defensive back coaches are telling guys, we would rather you give up that 10-yard, 15-yard penalty, whatever it may be, than give up that big play or that touchdown. So some guys, I'm sure, are going to go ahead and continue grabbing until they get used to it. It's better to give the grab, the 10-yard penalty up, than giving up the touchdown.
Milt, always great talking football with you. We look forward to it throughout the year.
Oh, I appreciate it. Anytime. Thanks a lot.